Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Harvey Levin here.
Jason?
So let's talk about Kanye for a minute or two or three. So my big question is, should we or anybody else at this point be giving him oxygen?
Oh boy, Harvey, it's impossible to answer that question. So he posted a swastika on Twitter. He's now been taken off Twitter. Should we be giving him oxygen? I guess not, except that he has an enormous audience. And
well, he did. Listen, he had an audience for his art. We are way beyond that right now. And yeah. At a point, you know, it's really funny because take Kanye out of the equation right now. The seems like the prevailing view in this country, and I think that there's a little bit problematic here, is that people want to start limiting speech, you know, some people more than others, but the prevailing view is certainly limit hate speech, speech that in any way incites violence. And at a point, you know, if that's the conversation and people do want to limit speech and take people off platforms, that means you don't give them oxygen. So given the prevailing view right now, where does Kanye fit into that? Is he outside the rails, the guardrails of all of this, to the point where, you know, he shouldn't be given platforms? Or are we just doing it because we know we get eyeballs? We know people are going to look. People are going to say this is appalling, but they're going to keep looking. I mean, what does the media do with Kanye West at this point?
I think the media should report on it. And frankly, to be honest with you, I don't think that Kanye West should be taken down from Twitter. Now, Elon Musk runs a private company. He can do whatever he wants. I'm not saying there's a free speech right. You don't have a free speech in a private company like that. But that said, Kanye West is hate speech. Obviously, putting up swastikas is hate speech. It is not, according to Elon Musk, he took Kanye's post down and suspended him for Twitter for inciting violence. I don't think that there's a definite parallel between posting a Nazi symbol and post and incitement to violence. I really do believe in a free marketplace of ideas. Obviously, it's hate speech, but people, as awful as it is, right? The First Amendment is not there to protect the speech we all like to hear. The First Amendment
Amendment, the way you're taught in law school, the First Amendment is to tolerate speech that you find abhorrent.
Right.
And then fight back with more speech.
With speech of your own.
Yeah.
Correct. And the free marketplace of ideas will lean towards justice.
Now, the funny thing about all of this is I've been watching some of these commentators on cable news doing somersaults explaining, yeah, but it's different now because these platforms have such big megaphones. It's not like it used to be. Bullshit. The way it used
to
be.
That's nonsense.
It's so stupid that, you know, I still think it deserves a 30-second conversation, which is that it used to be that there was a bigger megaphone than there is now, in the sense that people didn't have anything beyond their own little towns. And there used to be town squares. And you would have, and I mean, these were the, you know, the stereotypes, the town drunk, the town whore.
Right.
And people would talk about all of this stuff in a small town where these are the only people you really have any interaction with. It's not like now where people come and go, where it's much bigger. You had a confined space with these small towns. And everybody had a megaphone in these small towns. And the notion was you still tolerate it because the concept was free speech. It's different now. And I'm not sure why it's different. I mean, these ridiculous people on television saying, well, they're bigger megaphones. No, it's the same principle.
I think speech has never been more democratized than it is right now.
That's their problem.
Right.
No, that's their problem.
That is the problem. And therefore, that allows everybody to say anything they want and get it out to a wider audience.
So going back to Kanye, what happens? I mean, the guy is, you know, it's true that it's not directly inciting violence, but what it does is it gives... You know, it gives people, it empowers, you know, people who harbor that kind of hatred to say, wow, my voice is being heard out there. And then maybe they do bad things.
But the fact is,
Jason, hate crimes are up. And in fact, they just did a study in L.A. But hate crimes are really up.
But hate crimes are up. Lots of different types of crimes are up for the last 4 or 5 years that has happened. I'm not saying that hate crimes are not up, and I'm not saying it's not abhorrent. I'm not saying it's not awful.
So what do you do with Kanye?
If you're talking about us as a media organization, what do you do with Kanye? He's one of the biggest stars in the world, the most famous people in the world, putting aside his level of his stardom. He's one of the most famous people in the world. He's saying something through this now, which is noteworthy and newsworthy, and I think we report on it. That's it. Here's my question. Is he a person who is coming forward with a political view, a true political view, or is he just a non-lucid madman who's just spouting? If it's the latter, if he's just crazy, if he's off the rails, off his meds, whatever those things, then I think we're almost exploiting a crazy person.
Everybody's exploiting a crazy person right now.
I'm not saying
I think at a point when, you know, we put the Alex Jones interview up yesterday. Here's what I saw there. You ask, is he one or the other? I think he's both. I think he is. He is in a mental meltdown right now. And at the same time, I think a lot of these comments are still intentional. You can have a mental illness and be very intentional at the same time. And I think Kanye West is, because there have been lucid moments over the last month or so where he's espoused the same views. And I think those views just carry forward into his mental illness when he's having an episode. So if you have a combination of a guy who is acting like a madman, who is in the middle of some kind of a bipolar episode, and espousing this kind of hatred, what do you do?
Let me ask the question back to you.
I'm really conflicted.
Yeah.
I'm really conflicted on this. I'll tell you. I mean, everybody thinks, you know, this is... you know, either yes or no. And there are a lot of debates over what to do. I mean, we talk about it in the newsroom a lot, you know, with various stories. You know, do we cover this? Do we cover that? And we have these discussions all day long and pass on a lot of stuff and, you know, put other things up on the site and on the shows. But this is a tough one for me because, yes, he is famous. One of the things that I think is going to come to bear here is Kim Kardashian, the factor of that she shares 4 children with him, and that becomes a real legitimate news story when somebody is acting with this kind of hatred and craziness, how it impacts Kim and the family. Does she go back into court? Because I don't see how she doesn't. Does she go back into court the way Kevin Federline did when Britney was at her low point, and you say, she can't have custody, and in this case, he can't have custody of these kids because right now he has equal access under the settlement agreement. He can't have that when he's doing this stuff. It's not safe for the kids. It's not good for the kids. It puts everybody's safety at risk, and either deny him the right to see the kids until he rights the ship or have some kind of supervised visitation. Then it clearly becomes a legitimate news story.
It sure does. And by the way, just to segue onto that, I don't even think at this point a judge would necessarily grant him supervised visitation. If he is going to hate monger like this, and he's going to talk like he did about Alex Jones, where he's suggesting violence towards people, and he's suggesting that people are the devil and all this other stuff, I don't know that you can even have your kids in a supervised way around that kind of person.
I get it. And I'm just waiting for Kim to go to court because it just feels like it's going in that direction.
Boy, she
I feel bad for her. Terrible.
Yes. Her and the kids.
And the kids.
And honestly, do we feel bad for him at all? I it depends how much he's laboring under this. I've never been one to give a lot of credence to his mental struggles. I now look at a man, and I'm not in any way equipped from an educational standpoint to speak about this, but I see a man who is teetering on the edge of
destruction,
a full outright catastrophic destruction. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, I want to talk about something else. We got video, really an interesting video. David Archuleta, who was, I believe, on season 7 of American Idol, he came in second. He has come out as gay. And
a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And he, you know, he's from Utah. He's a Mormon. And he performed there, gosh, not too long ago. And when he started talking about his struggle coming out and the fact that it didn't align with the Mormon faith and how he started to hate himself because of all of it, because that was the only lens he could view the world through. He started talking about all of this. People started walking out and the venue got angry at him for talking about it. This is a really impactful interview.
It was a tiny town in the middle of nowhere in Utah, like a farm town.
Yeah.
And some of the people at the meet and greet were saying, we've never had a singer come before. So it was like a shock to them.
Yeah.
I mean, just the concert itself was a shock to them. And so to then talk about these things that, you know, they've always been like told, like, this is a political agenda. That's what I heard a lot. So,
and you're so close to your faith and, you know.
I was.
Yeah, was. I mean,
I
is
was.
There.
I still am with the people.
With the people,
but
got it.
I wouldn't say because
the religion, it's a touchy subject.
Yeah. Well, I don't really look at it as hate. I just look at it as like they don't understand. Because I came from that culture, so it's like I knew because it's like I feared myself. I don't think they hate me, otherwise they wouldn't have paid to come and see my show.
Like, is that going to prevent you from talking about it at future shows or
no?
So, you know, he went on and it was really fascinating. He was talking about the fact that he grew up in such a, you know, Mormon culture that he was told that this was bad, this was wrong, you can't be this way. And he felt that there was something wrong with him. It's the only way he could look at it growing up. He tried, he contemplated suicide over all of this and ultimately ended up in this interview saying, look, you know, I am probably deconstructing myself in terms of being a Mormon. And it's not that I'm not, you know, I still don't embrace my family and the people around, but the tenets of the religion itself, he seems to be abandoning. I'll tell you, I thought this was really, really interesting because the way you grow up, and I know this as a gay man, the way you grow up makes such a huge difference. And it's easy to say as an adult, you make decisions. You are so impacted by how you grow up and the way things are perceived, especially when you're gay. I thought it was a really interesting interview.
I thought it was a great interview, and I thought that the comments from the concert promoter were interesting too. We posted those on our site. So I guess what's happening is he's going on a bit of a Christmas tour where he's doing Christmas songs in various venues. This was in a very small, he said a very small
tiny,
town in
small
Utah where they never really have had a live singer before. So anyway, he goes, he's from Utah and he knows the area, whatever. So he goes and he sings, and then halfway through the show, or at some point during the show, and everybody was into it, and they went to see him. And he says, knowing that I'm a gay man, they came to see me. He apparently halfway through or whatever, there's a break, and he said, or the concert promoter said, you stopped for about 15 minutes, and you talked about. They used the word queer. I'm not exactly sure.
No, that's right.
Okay, I need to be educated on why that word was used instead of gay or
because
there's difference.
It's all encompassing.
Okay, so. So he went to 15 minutes, and the concert promoter's point was the people they came for Christmas music, and he was respectful, the concert promoter was. He was upset that David had done this, but he was respectful. He said, they came to see this, and for you to deviate from Christmas music and Christmas stories and whatever else goes into this show to a very personal conversation with them about your struggles coming out. That's not what they were here to see. And I get it. And David Archuleta, he can do whatever he wants. His show. He's in a small town in Utah that came out to see him. And I get, putting aside the subject matter for a second, if any artist were to go on a 15-minute conversation in the middle of their performance about their personal journey, you may not want to stick around for it.
That happens all the time.
It happens all the time. Well,
it happens all the time. Kanye West did it in concert.
And it's really annoying.
I know. I mean, Bruce Springsteen did it in concert. He talks about his life, his upbringing, and everything else. That's not unusual. I don't think David Archuleta is angry at people from walking out, because he said himself that he understands where they're coming from because he was part of that culture, that world. I think what he's saying is, I'm willing to accept the fact that people are going to walk out, knowing that other people may get a little more educated on things that they haven't been exposed to.
He said
in the past.
It might save some lives, actually, is what he said.
Well, and it's saving lives in the sense that there are people like David Archuleta who feel this kind of self-hate, who, you know, who are growing up, you know, in areas where being gay is just bad, according to everybody around them. And that to see somebody, to have a role model, to hear somebody, to watch somebody will help. And I think he's willing to accept the criticism for the benefit.
The criticism and the fact he may lose some gigs and that sort of thing. Which is too bad. But, you know, as a concert promoter, the concert promoter's point is, we're here to give people what they want. And if they don't want this, I don't want you to do it. David Archuleta is like, no, this is my journey. I'm going to talk about it. And so they have a business decision to make between the two of them.
And there are places where people are going to celebrate that.
Of course.
And places that they're not.
But his fan base seems to be more small town kind of thing, so he may be running up
against... He's in Los Angeles right now. And he's going to be,
So, okay, fair
I mean,
enough.
Look, he was an American Idol. I mean, he's, you know, he's got a name.
Yeah.
I just think that when I listen to it, it's just so important for people to understand the way you deal with a kid who is dealing with this, thinking about coming out, struggling with it, that will impact them for the rest of their lives. Yeah. And to think that it becomes like an etch-a-sketch when you become an adult and then make your own choices and everything else is ridiculous. That's not the way it works. This is all building blocks, and there's a foundation in a building. That becomes the foundation. Everything else gets built upon it, and it's really tough to deconstruct and rebuild clean, that these things stay with you for the rest of your life. And I think David Archuleta is a good example of that. I thought it was really interesting.
Just so I'm clear what you're saying, because he grew up in the Mormon faith in a conservative community as a closeted gay kid, the imprint on him of that struggle...
It's not that. It's that he grew up closeted as a gay kid, learning from everybody around him that being that is bad.
Yeah.
Being that is eternal damnation. Being that means you're not a good person. And all of that, even if you finally come out and say, that's wrong, all of those things have residual effects in your life. And the way you are brought up, the way you understand that, the way you're treated by other people growing up, people who kind of sense it of you and then interact with you, that will affect you for the rest of your life. It just will.
Got it.
Have a good weekend. See you Monday.